Turning in God's Word to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Thank our brother for leading. I deeply appreciate that tonight. And we trust the Lord will bless us in the closing moments of this meeting as we turn to His precious Word for this message for this evening. Familiar passage, but we trust that the Lord will give help as we would consider it, maybe from a different angle tonight. May the Lord bless us as we read and as we preach. Luke chapter 16. Verse number 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. Let's pray and unite our hearts together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray, Lord, that while it is familiar, we pray it will come with freshness. That thou will speak to our hearts and minister to us. Teach us, we pray, the things of God. Challenge thy people. Save the lost. And may in the midst of the closing moments of this gospel meeting, souls be plucked as brands from the burning, rescued from the lost eternity, by trusting in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Empty me of self and sin, and fill me with thy Spirit. And may God be glorified as we preach this message. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you're reading through the Gospels, you will find that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks more about the subject of hell than that of heaven. He speaks directly to those who were listening about the reality of a place of eternal suffering and punishment. Tragically, there are some that today will stand in pulpits and preach that hell is not a real place, that the Lord was just speaking pictorially or allegorically or the like. Now, the Bible warns us about adding to the Word of God, but also warns us about taking away from the Word of the Lord. Yet there's people who stand claiming to represent Christ with a message from God, and effectively they're saying what Jesus says is not true. For many, hell, or even heaven for that matter, gives them no cause for thought. Yet the reality is that one day in God's appointed time, your body will die, and your soul will be released from that body into either heaven for those who are saved by the grace of God, or into hell for those who will die in the sinful nature in which they were born. In the midst of these passages, and specifically in Luke's Gospel chapter 16, we read some words recorded for us that are spoken in hell. And it's those words I want to look at tonight for a few moments, with the thought of a concern for souls from hell. If you will notice in verse number 22, at the end of the verse, It says there that the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now we notice something from these verses. First of all, the rich die and the poor die. You see, the poor man died and the rich man died. And status really doesn't come into it. Position in life doesn't come into it. God has appointed a day for the death of each one of us. Secondly, we also learn that the soul goes immediately into eternity. It says he died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Just a heartbeat from eternity. Just a breath from eternity. Just a moment between time and eternity. For many in this gathering, that's a moment between earth and heaven. But for some, it's a moment between earth and hell. Just a heartbeat to your eternal destination. We could focus much on the description given of hell, but tonight the Lord has focused my mind on the words that were spoken specifically in verses 27, 28 and 30. And the man's words that are recorded here reveal his attitude toward God, toward his family, and about himself. The first thing we notice from his words are, based on what he found to be true, he knew his family needed to be saved. This man did not live a life of faith or belief. He was not careful about his soul in time. But this man came to realize that God's word is true. And the preparation must be made for eternity. Look what he says in verse 27. I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. He wanted Lazarus to be sent back from the dead to speak to his family. Do you notice the word therefore? I pray thee therefore. Well, he is referring to what has taken place. He's looking back. Let's look back at what he refers to. Verse 25, 26. Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, and Lazarus, likewise Lazarus, evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So what is the therefore referring to? Two things he's learned. First of all, he's learned that the saved are comforted in eternity. The unsaved are tormented. He has learned that the hard way. He's also learned that the saved in heaven will never be in hell. And the lost in hell will never be in heaven. There's a great gulf fixed. And knowing the reality of these truths, the rich man had a desire that his family would not be found in hell. If you could hear those who have died as Christians tonight speaking to you, their message would be, make sure you come to heaven. Make sure you're ready for heaven. Make sure you repent and trust Christ. Make sure you're under the blood. Come where there's no suffering. Come where there's no sorrow or sickness or pain or hurt or death or sin. That's the message your loved ones would give you from heaven. But I say this very solemnly tonight. If you could hear those who have died in their sin speaking to you, their message would be, make sure you don't come here. Make sure you don't die in your sin and come to this place of damnation. It's not a place of reunion. It's a place where you're utterly abandoned. It's not a place where you'll be fulfilled by sin, but rather you'll be punished because of sin. It's not a place where there's any rest or peace or hope or happiness. It's a place of horror and devastation without end. You know, as I think of this man begging for someone to go to his loved ones and warn them about hell, I ask the question, Christian, do I have that zeal? Do we have the desire that our loved ones, friends and neighbours would be saved? We notice something else about this man. Even though he knew the truth, he was still not willing to acknowledge God's plan of salvation for his people. Luke 16, verse 28. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Now this man thought he knew better than God. He knew that his family needed to be saved. He knew that they needed to change their ways if they were going to escape the punishment of hell. God has given his word. God had given his word. And that is the avenue through which men are saved. God uses his word. He has exalted his word above his name. And God takes the written word, the spoken word, the preached word. And as the Holy Spirit opens hearts and applies it, then souls are saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But this man wanted his family to be delivered from hell another way. You see, he supposed that miraculous wonders would convert souls. Look at verse 30. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one of went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Says Abraham, if that man who lay at the gates of my property, Lazarus, came back to life from the dead, then my family would repent of their sin. They would get saved then. They would turn away from their folly and trust in the work of God. And there may be some people even tempted to think that today. If someone came back from the dead and were able to tell us what hell is like and be able to tell us what heaven is like, surely many people would get saved. But remember this. Lazarus was brought back from the dead. The stone was rolled away. And 4 days after he died, he came forth at the command of Christ. The widow of Nain's son was raised to life. Jairus' daughter was raised to life, all through the miracles of Christ. But even with those miracles performed, many people in Israel weren't saved. Many people who knew them and knew of them didn't turn to Christ, even though they had come back from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ himself died, was buried and rose again, yet there were many who didn't repent of their sin. There were many who didn't trust him. Even with all the miracles and wonders he performed, many weren't saved. Judas, who saw more than most in the ministry of Christ, died without any repentance. You see, we have this idea that if something spectacular happened, something of note physically, then people would turn. But Spurgeon said, if the Holy Scriptures be not in the hands of God enough to bring you to faith in Christ, then though an angel from heaven, then though the saints from glory, and though God himself should descend on earth to preach to you, you would go unconverted and unblessed. God has given his word. The lesson is this. Souls are not saved by wonders and signs. Souls are saved through the preaching of the word of God. Therefore, we need to keep to the old ways. We need to keep preaching the gospel that God has given us in his word. Listen to what Abraham said to this man. Verse 29, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That's all they had at that point. They had the Old Testament, Moses, first five books of the Bible, the rest described as the prophets. But in those books, God's way of salvation is clearly revealed. I read last Lord's Day evening from Isaiah 53. How clearly Christ is presented as the Lamb of God, as the Saviour of sinners. We have the New Testament today, a completed word. And in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the gospel is contained. And that is what we need to present before men and women, boys and girls, if they are going to be saved. What is the gospel? Well, there are three facets of the gospel that must be preached. First of all, the fallen nature of all mankind. We all need to be saved. We're all born in sin's depravity and darkness. We're all born separated from God on a road to hell. You need to preach the need before you preach the cure. Secondly, the provision of a Saviour who has dealt with sin. We preach Christ crucified. And we do that gladly. We do that based on Scripture. We do it because that is the only answer for fallen sinners. If you want to see your loved ones won for Christ, let me tell you, it will be through Christ and Christ alone. It will be through His Word. It will be by turning to Him and trusting in Him. But there's something else we must do when we preach the gospel. Because sometimes people do preach about sin, and sometimes people do preach about Christ, but they stop there. We must present the free offer of salvation to all who will respond. We must remind our congregations that the offer is to the whosoever. All are invited to come. All are commanded to come. They're not all welcome. But our duty is to preach to all to repent from your sin, to turn to God, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to plead with Him for a cleansing in His precious blood. Don't allow the modern trends of professing Christians or the wicked attitude of the world dampen your enthusiasm or your belief in the necessity of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that there are some churches today and preaching is so minimal in their worship and in their services that it's effectively not there at all? And they scoff when someone opens a Bible and stands for half an hour, for 40 minutes, and just speaks to people. That's old-fashioned. Free as God it is. That's the old ways. That's the way God has blessed, appointed, ordained over the years and richly brought many souls to Christ. Don't let the world say that doesn't work. God's ways do work. God's ways do work. Don't you let the world or even these modern professing believers say that God's word isn't the way. If you're going to see souls saved, you need to get them under the preaching of the word of God. You need to share that gospel tract. You need to invite them to hear the word. You need to communicate your testimony. You need to keep putting those verses on social media. Keep presenting, speaking, promoting, inviting others to hear the word of God. That's God's way. And God honors His word. It will not return unto Him void. It is a purpose, and it will fulfill that purpose. Look what it says in verse 31. If they hear not Moses and the prophets. Let me paraphrase that. If they hear not the Bible. If they hear not the Bible. Neither will they be persuaded. Though one rose from the dead. God's word is still the answer to a world lost in sin. But thirdly tonight. The words that this man speaks reveals the heart and the mind of the sinner. This is a sinner in hell. This is a sinner who is eternally condemned. But what we see in his words is true of sinners in this meeting tonight. He was still rebelling against God. And if you're not saved, you're still rebelling against God. This man, even under eternal punishment, showed no remorse for his own sin. We don't read that he sorrowed over his sin. We don't read that he sought to repent of it, even though he couldn't be saved. I know a sinner in hell can never be saved, but there's absolutely no remorse, no sorrow. And that is the mark of the sinner. Friend, are you sitting in this meeting tonight in your sin, having lived every breath that God has given, every heartbeat that God has given, every second that God has given, in rebellion against God, and you're unconcerned? I fear for you. I fear for a man or a woman who has absolutely no concern over their sin, going out into God's eternity. Something else that's very revealing. He was concerned about others, yet not himself. What do I mean by that? He knew that others needed to be saved, but there was no concern really about where he was. And I see this at times in the ministry. Someone's loved one takes ill, and that person calls for the preacher to speak to them, to tell them they need to be saved. But the person who made the request isn't saved. They have no intention of considering spiritual matters. Preacher, would you go and speak to my brother, to my sister, to my mum, to my dad, to my son or my daughter? They're desperately ill. We don't know if they'll make it through. Would you go and speak to them? Yet the person who's making the request is not saved themselves. Now, I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's just foolishness. But I know this, it is tremendously sad to think that someone rang for a preacher because of another person's need and yet failed to realize their own. Maybe there's someone in this meeting. Maybe there's someone watching online. And you heard one day about a friend or a loved one who wasn't well, and your first thought was, I wonder if they're saved, concerned about their soul. Maybe you've rang the preacher or asked a Christian friend, would you go and visit them? They're not saved. They need to know about the Lord, but you're not saved. What a tragedy it would be if you were one who, because of a phone call or a request, saw someone won for the Lord, and yet you lost in hell. You're concerned about your soul. Shouldn't wait until you're sick or until you're older. It should be right now. How you stand before a holy God should matter now. Are you saved? Are you right with God? Friend, get your eyes off others tonight. What about your soul? He uttered requests that were not fulfilled. He asked that someone would go from beyond the grave, into time, and warn his family. But you see, this man could not approach the throne of God because he was a sinner. He could not plead the promises of the Bible or even the promises of the blood of Christ because he was eternally lost. He could not move the hand of God with his prayers because these were the prayers of an unrepentant sinner. But praise God, tonight there is a prayer that the sinner can pray that God does hear and God does answer immediately and fully. And that is when a sinner prays in repenting of their sin, confessing their need as a sinner, and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to save them. J.C. Ryle, the great bishop of Liverpool in the 1800s, said these words: "It is not more evidence that is wanted in order to make men repent, but more heart and will to make use of what they already know. The man who has a Bible and can read it, yet waits for more evidence before he becomes a decided Christian, is deceiving himself. Except he awakens from his delusion, he will die in his sin." God has given everything you need to be saved in this book. He tells you you're a sinner. He tells you through love, He sent the Son to be the Savior of sinners. He tells you that if you will repent, you will be converted and your sins will be blotted out. He tells you that the time to be saved is now. What are you going to do with the Word of God? What are you going to do with the Word of God? If you're waiting on some big spectacular phenomenon, it isn't going to happen. You need to come as a sinner, trusting and taking God at His word. Lest you die, and in hell lift up your eyes, and for all eternity, rue the day you sat in a pew in Mockerfeld Pre-Presbyterian Church, where the preacher warned you you needed to be saved. And yet you rejected the truth of the gospel and left in your sin. Where will you be in eternity? 10 deaths were read in their services today. 9 deaths were read in our services last week. Just in our community. You have no guarantee that your name will not be on the announcement sheet next week. But praise God, if you repent of your sin and call on Christ to save you, you do have the assurance that it is well with your soul. And when the Lord should come or call, it'll be absent from the body and present with Him. May God give you grace to come tonight. Hymn 235. Dear unsaved, we're singing this for you tonight. On the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. Where the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, I am going there to stay, meet me there. 235. And let's lift our voices unto the Lord as we sing together. Stand and worship. close your eyes, I challenge you tonight. Will I meet you there? Will you be in heaven? Dear listener watching on the internet, will you be there? God's people are going home to glory soon. Will you be there? Because the reality for you, if you do not trust Christ and do not prepare, you will be in the place where this rich man ended up. Not because he was rich, but because he died in his sin. May God give you grace to call tonight. He's ready and willing and mighty to save. Call on him while you may. Father, we thank thee for these few moments of simply considering these words of a man eternally lost. Oh Lord, how hopeless these words are. How helpless this man is. He's been abandoned. He's under the wrath of a holy God. And still tonight he's suffering in the torments in the place of the damned. Lord, if there are those who are not yet saved tonight, will you open their eyes? Show them, Lord, that if they do not turn and call on thee, they too will be found in a lost sinner's hell. Give grace, Lord, tonight. Give deciding grace. And we'll give all the praise and the glory and the honor to thy name. Build thy church, Lord. Extend thy kingdom. Bless thy people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.